Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Anna Page. And we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. From jazz to classical, this week on Resounds, music is our muse. We had the pleasure of talking with trombonist and educator John Roberts of Billings, as well as Bozeman-based composer Eric Funk and violinist Angela Ahn.
John Roberts is a trombonist, vocalist, bandleader, session player, and a composer. For nearly 20 years, John has been touring, recording, and performing internationally across the U.S. in Mexico, India, Asia, Europe, Caribbean, Australia, and Africa.
John is the assistant professor of low brass at Montana State University, Billings. He teaches world music, conducts the university jazz ensembles. John is also the founder and frontman for John Roberts y Pan Blanco, an energetic band of high-level musicians that perform West African funk, soul, salsa, jazz, R&B, and more. John, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's quite a resume. You're quite the energetic person. Where in the world does it all come from?
Well, I don't know. It might stop someday. I hope not. I think I've always been like that, just always looking over the fence for the next thing to work on. So
I love the fact that you're a Montana boy.
Thank you. Yeah.
You actually were. I mean, when I first was introduced to you, it was, here's this great new musician coming up from LA that's going to be teaching at MSU Billings. Little did I know that you were originally from Montana.
I was born in Miles City, grew up in Malta, went to college at MSU Billings, and wandered down to Los Angeles and other regions.
Now, I saw you at a TED Talk at the university, and I recall you saying, how can a bunch of boys from Montana be playing African music? And your response was, because we've all been playing it our whole lives, that African music is heard in all kinds of music that you do now today.
Yes, I really believe that, and I've been chasing down the roots a lot of the music that I love. And the first European music in the New World and African music in the New World basically landed at the same time after Columbus landed in the West Indies, which was Cuba, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, that area. So from there, slaves were spread out to South and North America, and mixing with the conquerors' music, the Spanish and the French. So those rhythms and those notes and some of those melodies have been on our continent since long before anything we've heard.
Which would explain how it makes it into your sound.
Yeah.
And didn't you spend some time in Cuba?
I did. I spent a week and a 2.5 weeks in Cuba a few years ago and did some studying. And I am going back in May or June this year to work on an album.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. So an American in Cuba.
Yeah, I guess so. I have to write a new song.
So, John, I am thrilled. I teach at MSU Billings, and I'm always excited when new faculty come to campus because I think they put a different kind of energy. And I have watched you and Doug Nagel do some amazing things for the music department. Do you want to talk a little bit about your teaching and your aspirations for the college?
Sure. As far as my concept of teaching, I try and bring as much of the real-world experience into it that I can, and just try and prepare the students as much as we can so that they can make solid decisions down the line for their own success. So I think for that to happen, you have to expose them to as many things as possible and give them some freedom. So when I give a lot of assignments, sometimes I don't give them too many parameters because I want to see what they come back with. So hopefully that helps build more creativity in the musicians and more student ensembles, and we start seeing more music from the students around the campus and around the community.
And that's kind of an unusual assignment from a lot of university professors that are fairly strict about what they expect. So I love that flexibility.
When you assign this open-ended creative project, how do they respond?
Some of them don't like it. Some of them want parameters. Some of them aren't used to that kind of openness. But that's what I want. Those are the kids I really want to grab. I want to grab the ones who aren't used to that and see what they come back with. And I've seen some amazing creativity out of these students.
Yeah, I see that in the writing composition assignments, too. I don't tell them what to write about. I want them to be passionate about what they're choosing. And that's not always the case. So
Right. And sometimes no one's ever asked them to be about to be passionate about what they want to be passionate about. They've been boxed in. So
you also incorporate technology into your music. It's not you're just teaching the trombone, you're not just teaching brass instruments. Talk a little bit about that technology aspect.
Well, in the new age of music, you have to have some knowledge of technology, of recording studios. I don't care whether you're going to be a band director or in music business or a performer. This is all stuff you have to have. And so I think it's just another way of getting them ready for the real world. I mean, if you want to record music now, you don't have to rent out a $50 an hour, $100 an hour studio. I still get a lot of recording sessions from people around the world. They just send me a track, I record it, and I email them the WAV file back. And that's the way it works.
Oh, now. Really? Yeah. So people are having you do recording, but mm-hmm. you don't have to be in the studio. Yeah. You can do it here.
Half of my album was done remotely by people in Los Angeles or New York or wow. Puerto Rico.
Yeah, so technology and digital access to global music trends just makes the world quite a bit smaller for us.
It does make it smaller, yeah, it does. And it allows people to get their thoughts out and their musical thoughts. You don't have to spend $50,000 to go to Capitol Records and do your album. You can do it at home for $2,000 to $3,000 if you want to.
I'm curious about your musical influences. I mean, we talked a bit about the world music trends that have inspired you, but I mean, what are you really digging into right now?
Well, I have a lot of influences. I grew up playing classical piano, and I've always loved classical and orchestral music, and I got my degrees in orchestral trombone, but I love everything. And ever since I was a kid, I was in love with old school blues and old school soul and R&B music. And some of the first stuff I remember listening to was Sam Cooke and the Temptations.
Ah.
And my first tape that I remember buying with my own money was Willie Dixon, who was a Chicago blues player. And when I decided to work on my music here in Billings, I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do first. I love the music of Latin America. It makes people dance. It makes people happy. And I love soul and R&B, and I love the music of Africa because, again, it's dancey. So I started mixing them all together.
And I can imagine you could probably get through the classical repertoire for trombone fairly quickly.
There's still a few things I haven't done. Right now I'm working on some things that I want to play, some concertos and some pieces that weren't written for trombone. I'm working on some Hungarian dances by Brahms, which are pretty difficult. But I love, it makes you play differently and it makes you think differently to play music that wasn't written specifically for your instrument or for you.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's talk about your band. Talk about getting up and dancing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've ever seen these guys, you know that you are going to get up and move. You just inspire audiences to just pack the place and dance. That must be such a rewarding feeling.
It's awesome. It's great to see people enjoying themselves. And that's my main goal as a musician or a composer or a songwriter, whatever you want to call me, is to affect people positively. And I love seeing that happen. And I'd feel very blessed to have had the experiences I've had that I can pull from those experiences to blend all these styles of music together into one thing.
Mm-hmm. And you have a jazz showcase coming up at Cecil Hall at MSU.
On November 2nd, there are two great artists that are going to be in Billings, and one of them is Bob Bowman, who was a bass player for Thad Jones and Freddie Hubbard. And the trumpet player's name is Clay Jenkins, and he teaches at Eastman right now. He was also one of my teachers back in Los Angeles, but he played with Count Basie and Henry Mancini
wow.
and the Clayton Hamilton Orchestra and Harry James. And I figured, well, these guys are going to be in Montana. Let's see if we can bring them here and put a show together. So we're putting them together at Cecil Hall on November 2nd at 7:30 for the community. It's open to everybody. And they'll be joined by a vibraphonist and a drummer from Kansas City, two of Bob Bowman's friends. But it's pretty awesome to have these guys here on campus, and it's going to be recorded and streamed live by KEMC, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. And what a great concert to do that with, because these are two guys who helped form 60s and 70s jazz. It's amazing. So I just thought that was a great opportunity to have them in.
And then you also put on a jazz festival that's a little bit different program. It's really for high school students in January. Tell us about that, where that came about, and your intentions for it.
Well, you know, the reason I came to Montana State Billings, it was EMC back then, mm-hmm. but we're not going to say that, was because I came down here to a jazz festival, and I came down from Malta, and I saw Maynard Ferguson. I'm like, oh, man, I got to go to school here. Because Maynard Ferguson was here at the jazz festival. So when I came back to Billings to teach at the college, which I never in my life thought would happen, it just kind of, things happen, you know. And so I decided, well, let's start this jazz festival up again. And it's been going pretty well, and we're getting some new students from it. This year we have Alex Isles as a guest, and he is the top call recording trombone player in the United States. He's played on every Disney Pixar thing that's been out there, as well as all the Supermans and everything else.
Wow.
And Bob Bowman will also be featured there also. And probably get about 16 high schools. High schools come, and we have adjudicators that work with the students, and they just work on progressing in this American music of jazz. Clinics throughout the day, and the concert in the evening for the community.
What a fabulous opportunity to bring them together and get to share that.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
And I can see on the faces of those high school kids getting to be on stage at a college and feeling really cool about it.
You know, pretty nice. You know, when they get to be on Cecil or in Petro Hall and play in there. Petro's a big hall.
Yeah.
You know, they get in there and they got the nice lights and everything, and it's a great sound, you know. They really seem to enjoy it.
Well, I see that too, even on smaller stages in our jazz culture here in Billings. And you've been in the jazz scene for quite a long time. What are some of your favorite moments that you've seen as the community's grown and evolved?
I like seeing more and more high school students step out. I've always thought that the Thursday night jazz jam was a great thing down at the Yellowstone Valley Brewing Company. I really enjoy, as far as the jazz world, I've really enjoyed playing at Walker's a lot. And the community shows up, and people actually show up in Billings. They show up to listen to the jazz, where a lot of times it's a background music. You know, I've played a lot in a lot of other places, and it was, you know, you're just sitting in the corner of the restaurant. Don't play too loud. We don't really want to hear you.
Yeah, you know? Walker's on a Sunday. It is all about the jazz. Yeah, people, and yeah, at Yellowstone too, people are focused.
People come specifically to hear the music and to hear that. And it's an unusual thing. And it totally caught me off guard when I first got here from Los Angeles. So.
And I wonder, Eric Funk will be in our studio shortly.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, who teaches at Montana State in Bozeman in the music department? I wonder, how big or small is the musician's world in Montana?
It's pretty small. It's a pretty small world. Everybody knows everybody, and Montana is a smaller state. It's a big state with, you know, a lot less people, so you meet everybody really quick, especially if you're at a certain level of musicianship. You meet a lot of musicians really quick. But to be honest, the whole world of musicians, in my opinion, is really small. You know, when I went to Cuba, I didn't know a soul there, or so I thought. And then I'm running into the teachers of friends of mine in Los Angeles. When I was in Argentina this last summer, I ran into friends of mine from Los Angeles that were just there visiting. It's pretty crazy. And they were musicians. They were touring, you know. So guys that I played with forever have been up to Billings and played. I run into them on accident. It's like, wow, here you are in Billings, Montana. So the whole music world alone is pretty small once you start wandering around it.
You're connected by a common language.
Yep, you're connected by a common language. And I really think it's probably 1 to 2 degrees of separation from almost every professional musician in the world. So it's pretty crazy once you start thinking about it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us and a little insight on your music.
Thanks, John, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Funk has composed over 140 major works, earning numerous commissions and awards, including the 2001 Governor's Award for the Arts. He's the host and artistic director for 11th and Grant with Eric Funk, and the first music and artistic director of the Big Sky Classical Music Festival in Big Sky, Montana.
Angela Ahn is part of the Juilliard-trained, multiple award-winning Ahn Trio, with her twin sisters Lucia, pianist, and Maria, cellist. The Trio Ahn has been at the forefront of artists keeping the piano trio repertoire alive and thriving. Angela now lives and teaches in Bozeman.
So welcome, Eric. Welcome, Angela. You are both currently teaching in Bozeman at Montana State University, and lucky for them.
Lucky for me.
John Roberts was with us earlier in the studio, and we talked about what's happening at the university level in terms of music. Mm-hmm. We're so excited when really great performers are also teachers. And Eric, you have been there for a long time. How has things changed and evolved in the music scene?
We've had a number of different directors over the course of the time that I've been there. And it just seems each time we get new personnel, it's younger and more alive, more vibrant. A lot of the people we have on staff now are sort of dispel the myth of those who can do and those who can't teach. All of these people can do and they can also teach, and they're master teachers. So the environment is very phyletic, meaning very embracing. The students really support one another. We have music ed majors. We have music technology program, was one of the few undergrad music tech programs in the U.S. And then we have a Bachelor of Arts degree in music that has various prongs. And many of those people are sort of looking at performance majors and then with the idea of going on to grad school and completing. So when you have the likes of Angela Ahn on staff, you can imagine the number of violinists and violists who've shown up at MSU with the opportunity to study with this incredibly rich and wonderful human being.
And Angela, you're currently a full-time professor of violin and viola, and you continue to share the techniques of your mentor, the late world-renowned Dorothy DeLay. Do you always plan on being a teacher?
I do. I love teaching. And working at Montana State University, sometimes I feel like I won the lottery without actually buying a ticket because I get to teach incredibly enthusiastic and wonderful students and share the incredible knowledge that I learned from my violin teacher, but then also live in this incredibly beautiful place. You know, so I feel like, really, I'm not joking. I feel so lucky to be there and to be surrounded by wonderful peers and colleagues.
So your trio has toured the world, playing everywhere from New York City to Teatro Cologne, the Beijing Concert Hall, and you even performed for President Obama at the White House. What on earth brought you to Montana?
Some years ago, when I was when my trio was performing for our Bear Theater, I met my now former husband at the concert, and we ended up spending some time in New York and then also in Montana, and I ended up moving to Bozeman, Montana. The marriage didn't work out, but I fell in love with Bozeman, so I stayed.
Terrific. You know, and I will say, I booked the On Trio. Okay, they were beautiful. They were very talented. But what really drew me to the trio, and I think, Eric, you can speak to this, is their passion for music. And I understand that you actually have just composed a piece for the trio?
I did. I was commissioned to write a piece for them in their collaboration with the James Sewell Ballet Company from Minneapolis. And they workshopped it up in Big Sky this last July and did a sort of a pre-performance of a work in progress with the trio on stage with the dancers. James Sewell is the choreographer. The piece is called Les Sœurs, so French for the sisters, and I was trying to capture the dynamic of these three rather amazing women. James just did a masterful job in capturing the twins, who two of the women dancers come out dancing together arm in arm, and then the sort of Angela character comes out and is trying to enter into this braid and sometimes being invited and sometimes being shoved aside. And it's everything from joy to argument that's expressed in the dance. And it's hysterically funny and really beautiful. I also wrote a piece for Angela. I wanted to write a piece for her, and so I finally came up with something, and I called it Angela, which embarrassed her because she's so humble, but it was a portrait. It's a piece for violin and piano, and she's played it a number of times now, and I really tried to just capture her, but also my friendship with her.
Well, and Eric, as a composer, you've got such a diverse repertoire, you know, chamber, opera, symphony, voice. I'm curious how a composition comes into being for you. Obviously, good inspiration really helps. what are some other things that might bring these to life for you?
Well, in the case of the piece that I wrote for Angela, I just went and sat on the back of porch at my house and listened with my mind's ear to what the music that was going through my mind when I thought of her. And it came very quickly. Which oftentimes my pieces do, I write them fast. As you know, it sounds very abstract, but if you were to think of a short story and you let yourself go into it, every character, every scene would emerge in your imagination. And once you think all the way through to the end, then you can just sit down and write it down.
And Angela, you and the trio have really taken on a mission of expanding the repertoire for piano trios. And you've commissioned lots of new works, Mark O'Connor, Pat Metheny, Kenji Bunch. What is that impetus? Where does that come from? And have you always been committed to new music?
It comes from lots of different places, I think. And part of it is growing up in New York City mostly, growing up with two different cultures, always wanting to be not just kind of doing the thing that's the normal thing, like all the written music from years ago, but maybe getting to know different composers, having a relationship with them. When you have a really great piece, it takes no work to actually understand it, digest it, perform it. And I think that is sort of the greatest gift for a musician, is to be handed a piece and it almost plays itself, because it's so easy to do that. It emotionally, it's right there. And so we've been really lucky that we've had so many composers like Eric, like Kenji, like Pat Metheny, that just write this incredible music for us that we can instantly understand in a way, and that it's something about the language. It just speaks to you.
I wanted to chat a little bit, Eric, with you about 11th and Grant with Eric Funk, your Emmy award-winning show on Montana PBS. And you've got musicians of all genres there. It's a series devoted to artists' personal stories, insights into their music, this deeper experience than one would have attending a concert. Have you found that there's a Montana sound?
Absolutely. In fact, to this extent, and I think it'll help people listening to this to understand, if you were to go to Europe, and let's say you went from Germany to Spain to Italy and then to the Czech Republic and to Poland, you'd find the music of each one of those countries very different. We're getting to the point now where I think we might consider changing the name of the country to the United Countries of America, because each state has such a distinctive personality that my friend Phil Aubrey and I have talked about this, that we can tell a Montana musician by the way they inflect the music. And they're different from Idaho or Washington or Oregon or Wyoming. There is a very unique sound. It's very subtle, and I know this is a weird place to try to go into to describe what that is, but there is something about what Phil and I kind of agree on, is that our space inspires where we live, the bigness, the openness, the use of effective silence and that sort of thing.
I love the idea that there is a commonality, and maybe that comes from the environment, the open spaces. You have really provided an incredible opportunity on 11th and Grant for contemporary Montana musicians. Angela, do you want to talk about your experience on the show?
I still think about that day when we taped and what went on that whole day. And I'm so grateful for the experience. And I think Eric is absolutely right. I'm a different musician living in Montana versus I was in New York City. And I think it does have everything to do with the space and the beauty and room to breathe and grow and be really creative. It was a really hard day, don't you think, of taping? You had to completely change personalities for every single segment, but it turned out to be something I'm so proud of and I'm so grateful for.
Well, it sounds like you really did fall in love with Bozeman, and it's kept you here and inspired you in so many different ways.
It really has. I still wake up every day grateful that I live here and work here, and I have friends like Eric and all of my other musical colleagues in Bozeman and Montana. It's incredible.
Within the writing scenes that I spend time in, too, there's always been that question of, you know, what keeps writers here, and it has so much to do with space and place, mm-hmm. and that time to reflect and have that natural beauty inspiring you.
Yeah, every year when we submit programs for the Emmy Awards, and we've won 9 so far, and I'm sure we're far from being done, we have 66 one-hour shows now in the can. But we send in Angela's show, and I think what's interesting is that here's a classical violinist who was trained at Juilliard who opens with Stairway to Heaven. And she does such a wide stylistic push on that show that I play it for my students and they just sit there with their mouths hanging open, because it's all music, it's all good, and Angela certainly reflects that philosophy.
Well, and what classical violinist wouldn't want to play a white electric violin and play the guitar solo?
Eric, you're such a busy man. You're into so many things. You're also the music and artistic director for Big Sky Classical Music Festival. And it's a 3-day festival that welcomes people of all ages to this free outdoor performance, a 1 indoor ticketed concert, and a youth music camp, and also master classes for student musicians. How did this all come about?
The festival was started, I think, 5 years ago now. And I was asked 7 years ago now.
Oh,
Angela
goodness.
Just gave me the sign language. and I was the first artistic director for that program. I kind of helped guide them. And originally, we didn't have an orchestra. And then somewhere along the way, I pulled my friend Angela in and said, I would love to groom you to take over this position because your connection with Mark O'Connor Camp and other things and all of your friends at Juilliard and your international travels puts you elbow to elbow with some rising stars and some musicians that I'm not going to know. And this is going to be a crown jewel in the music festival scene. We want it to be as big as Ravinia or Aspen or Chautauqua or Marlboro, you know, all the big festivals, and it has a very unique identity. I had some health crises show up, so while I was in the process of grooming Angela for this, I actually had to just give it to her, and I promised I would stay in the wings and help her. So now I'm the emeritus artistic director of the Big Sky Festival, and often on email or telephone calls with my dear friend as she runs into things that she may not yet have the skill set to deal with. And so I kind of get to husband that a little bit and teach it. But I have such confidence. She really doesn't need me at all. I'm like the feather in Dumbo's trunk.
Eric,
not
you're
saying,
wrong. I do need you.
But, so, Angela, you're filling some big shoes here, right? Taking on a music festival.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I remember when Eric had approached me about taking over for him one day. Do you remember that my exact words were, I would be so honored and happy to do it, but you need to hold my hand for 5 years at least and mentor me through it. And then I had like 1 year. But it's an incredible responsibility and honor. You know, I feel like I get to do what I'm most passionate about, which is bring incredible music and musicians to the beautiful place that I live in. I do think there is something very special about making music in a beautiful place. It's a different experience from making music in a concert hall or in a big city. You do have all of that space around you.
So, Eric, and the question obviously would go to you. You have done a lot of different kinds of music, but the piece that the symphony performed this year is absolutely majestic and really reflects the Montana environment. Do you want to talk a little bit about that piece?
Yeah, it's an unusual piece in my catalog. I have 9 symphonies, and this is number 2 that Billings Symphony did. And it's subtitled Montana, and I wrote it in a neo-romantic style. So it sounds like it might have been written somewhere between 1885 and 1905. I used a Tchaikovsky meets Rimsky-Korsakov orchestration style. I put it in sonata allegro form, this first movement, the movement that they played. And I also used a cyclic approach, so there's a motive that continually repeats, and it repeats through all the other movements as well. But I'm trying to capture, it's a tone painting of trying to capture the grandeur and the landscape and the not only the mountain ranges that are stunning, you know, at Glacier, but also the Big Open, the High Line, Miles City, just all of the variety that we have, and especially with regard to the light, because it's the light in Montana that makes this place so magical, which any painter or photographer will tell you is just breathtaking. So I was trying to capture that in sound, and it's a really popular piece. It's gotten performed in Russia, and Riga, Latvia, and Prague. You know, all over the place. So it's funny how people connect with this landscape through sound.
Well, we are very lucky to have Eric Funk and Angela on, not only in our studio, but in Montana, performing, composing, and making great music.
Yes, thank you so much for being here and sharing your great art with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You can hear Angela Ahn perform with the Montana Chamber Music Society at 7:30 Saturday, October 14th in Reynolds Recital Hall in Bozeman. And then you can hear the Ahn Trio with the release of their new album, Blue, in concert at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman, 7:30 Thursday, November 16th.
And be sure to catch the Bob Bowman and Clay Jenkins Quartet at Sissel Hall at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, November 2nd. The performance will also be streamed live on Yellowstone Public Radio.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Anna Page, Corby Skinner, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Naumann. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.